following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning to some of you. Good afternoon to others. Welcome. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Lots and lots of things happening in the sports world. Tom Brady getting ready to return. And maybe take it out on, yep, that's right, Jeff's Cleveland Browns. College football happening big time all the time in front of us, as we know. Playoff. Oh, we get our first taste of what's in the minds of the voters here in about a month or so. And I don't know. NBA basketball on the horizon in a little bit. Major League postseason baseball being played. I'd say we got it all happening right now for us, Jeff, wouldn't you?
Oh, October is the best month of the year. All four major sports plus college football on the calendar. It is just great. And I'll tell you one thing. I wish that the Cleveland Browns were playing the Ohio State Buckeyes, a team that they could be on Sunday versus the one of the best teams in the National Football League. But Brady being back on the field is a good thing for the National Football League, even if it is not for the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think his record is like something like 11-0 against them, or 11-1.
Oh, no, he lost last time he went into Cleveland.
11-1, maybe?
It's possible. It's probably not that many games because the Patriots play a first-place schedule and the Browns do not.
Yeah, good point. But anyways, Tom Brady is back. We're back in just a few moments, so keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
There's nothing more frustrating than finding that bucket of joint compound you need has dried up between jobs. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned, and we'll talk about a simple solution to prevent that problem right after this.
Step one, make a list of your weekend projects. Drywall, wash the patio, scrape the loose paint on the deck. Step two, pour yourself a cup of coffee.
Hey, Family Guy's on TV. Love that show.
Step three, 2 hours later, back to your list. Step four, pick a project, break out the tools, get it done. Step five, go ahead. One more episode. No guilt this time. Hyde Tools. Everything you need to start somewhere at thehideway.com.
If you've ever worked with drywall joint compound, spackle, or similar products, you know that they have a tendency to dry out between jobs. The resulting lumpy mess is practically useless, not to mention a waste of good money. So, here's a way to keep that from happening. First, use a putty knife to level the top of the material inside the container. Then add just a few drops of water on top of it. Next, cut a piece of kitchen plastic wrap to the size of the container and lay it on top of the compound or spackle before you seal up the container. The plastic wrap will catch the moisture evaporating from the joint compound and keep it from drying out, so it's ready for the next job. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
If you or someone you care about is trapped by addiction to drugs or alcohol, then don't miss this life-changing message from the Addiction Recovery Network.
Hi, I'm Adam Weil. I'm CEO of the Addiction Recovery Network. Addiction doesn't discriminate, and treatment's not a one-size-fits-all approach. There's no cure for addiction. Addiction is a lifelong journey that people struggle with every day. We find the best treatment centers that have the full continuum of care that will ultimately give people the best chance to succeed. Dealing with an addiction is hard enough. Finding the right treatment shouldn't be. Please, if you or a loved one are struggling with addiction, don't wait till it's too late. We're here to help.
Make one of the most important calls of your life. The call is confidential and could save your life or the life of someone you love. Private insurance could cover the entire cost, so call 800-300-3388. That's 800-300-3388. 800-300-3388.
Here at KFC, the Extra Crispy Tender is the starting quarterback of our $20 Philip, now available with 12 of those Extra Crispy Tenders, two large game-winning mashed potatoes with gravy, and a top-notch supporting staff of a large coleslaw and four biscuits. It's an unbeatable combination of Kentucky Fried Chicken deliciousness, perfect for watching football this Sunday. Go your team! KFC, it's finger-licking good!
Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Many things happening in the sports world. We're talking some NFL football right now. We all know Tom Brady is back today. Out there playing against the Cleveland Browns. Probably a pretty good situation for him. Let me ask you about another situation that seems to be developing more and more. And it's almost to the point where you're wondering where this guy's head is at. And if you don't know where I'm going, I'm talking about Odell Beckham and the way that guys are able to get under his skin and push him to the brink of, I want to say, carelessness or being a little bit selfish, to be honest with you. And then reacting to what guys do, which potentially could harm the success of his very own team. Are you wondering where Odell Beckham's head is at this point? Because I really am wondering, when you have as much talent as he has, how you can let the small stuff sweat you the way that he's letting it sweat him. Instead of just going out there and ripping dudes up.
None of this would be happening if Tom Coughlin was still alive. And I believe that, you know, though joking, obviously. I believe that there's a transition when you have a young guy like a young, inexperienced guy like McAdoo leading the charge in the locker room. But you need that. You know, you've got Eli Manning there. You've got players. You've got Victor Cruz. You've got players that should be able to lead on that football team in that facility, and, you know, both on and off the field. And it seems like Beckham just either doesn't take to the leadership or isn't being led properly. And I think that that means that the New York Giants have to find a way to make it work for the rest of his contract. But I don't think that you look at this guy as a guy that you can count on in the future. And I will reference one Gordon, Josh from the Cleveland Browns as being the precedent on that. Not saying that he's anywhere near in any amount of trouble, but if he's not mature enough to handle himself off the field, it's going to translate onto the field, and the New York Giants don't need that in their locker room.
It's a completely different direction, man. And I think this dude has so much talent. We've all seen the catches that this guy can make in practice, whether it be practice or whether it's a real game or whatever. We have seen the attributes and the qualities that this kid brings to the table. And let's not forget, he's 23 years old. So he's young. He's got a lot of intensity. He's got a lot of heart. You can tell the guy wants to win. So what I'm really thinking is someone needs to just get inside his head. And this is the coach in me, okay? I'm thinking, how do I turn this guy around to the point of where he can take all of that anger and all of that frustration that's been building up from a guy, knocking him around, hitting him when he's out of bounds, going low, doing whatever they do, but you go out there and you dominate and you use that stuff as incentive to go out there and beat that guy even worse than you probably already are. Therefore, that's why the guy needs to get under your skin in the first place. And when you have the talents that he has, you have to realize that dudes are going to try to get under your skin and dudes are going to try to get in your head.
Xavier Rhodes did a heck of a job of that. I think that the NFL is going to be looking. Don't be surprised if the referees are a little whistle happy with instigating Odell Beckham, and I believe that's going to affect your Green Bay Packers on Sunday night on NBC.
Well, let me take this to another spot, and my reasoning is because, okay, you have guys that are giving Odell Beckham a lot of hard time and they're pushing him around and they're hitting him out of bounds and they're hitting him low. But then you have this problem with how guys go out and celebrate in the end zone. What is your real feeling on how guys should be able to celebrate? Should they be able to celebrate? Like where do you sit? Where do you stand on that?
Just let it go. Let the entertainers entertain. I don't really understand the. I think that it's that the kickoff penalty used to be so marginal, but now you're playing a game. You've always been playing a game of inches, but you're playing games that do come down to that 10 yards because kickers' legs are so good. You know, you're playing a game where that penalty on the kickoff is. It really can affect the game, and it shouldn't. And it's penalties that shouldn't even been called. I think that there's a reasonable expectation of reasonability, quite frankly, for these players not to get ridiculous. Now, if they start taking their pants off and throwing their helmet in the crowd, you know, doing anything that I would define as ridiculous, dancing's not ridiculous. Celebrating with your teammates is not ridiculous. I think that there are ways to cross the line, and I don't think that we're seeing fines for what I would define as crossing the line.
See, I used to have a totally different opinion, man. I used to be like, look, why can't everybody be like Barry Sanders and just hand the ball over to the official?
Or Chris Spielman. Yeah, and I certainly do appreciate that level. And, you know, since Terrell Pryor got called for a ridiculous taunting call, softly tossing a ball back to the ref while the defender got up and got hit by the ball, they called that taunting. And now the Cleveland Browns, they just put the ball on the ground. They don't do anything to offer to help the referee get the ball spotted. And, you know, that's what precedence does for you is, you know, once something happens once, you just make sure it doesn't happen again, even if you have to go to extremes to avoid it. I think Antonio Brown's going to continue to dance. I think these guys are going to continue to voice their opinions via their footwear. And I think that they're going to continue to get fined and the general public's going to be upset about it. The players are going to be upset about it and the league won't do anything about it because the NFL basically prints their own money.
Look, like I said, I used to be a fan of the way that Barry Sanders used to hand the ball over to the official, and I thought that was pretty classy. Well, now I've got kind of a different take on it. You've just done something that's kind of special. You know, not everybody scores touchdowns, and like you said, there's an entertainment factor to this whole thing, and people go to these games to be entertained. So, you know, they want to see great plays. Yeah. But then they also want to see a guy celebrate a great play, too. And like you said, I think as long as the celebration is not extreme in the sense of it takes 5 minutes or, doing something like you said, taking your pants off, doing whatever, that sort of nonsense. But there's something special about the Lambeau Leap. I hate to say it, dude. You know, you do something really cool, and then you go jump in those stands, and those people are giving you praise and love and happiness, and it's a sign of everybody coming together.
Oh, so, I love it. I love the Lambeau League. I'm not a Packers fan. The Hasselbeck, we want the ball and we're going to score, that ended with a pick six very early in that overtime. I thought that was one of the more monumental Lambeau leaps. You know, we had John Poulter on last hour. I think that the Joey Bats bat flip in the ALDS year ago was monumental. And I think that, celebration should merit the moment. I think that if you're celebrating a solo home run with a 7-2 lead with an obnoxious bat flip, you're off the hook. I think that you get to a point where you're celebrating a meaningless garbage time touchdown too ridiculously. I think that you really need to be on par with what you just accomplished and the magnitude of the moment that you're celebrating.
Look, I think the bottom line is we're all so critical about everything that's happening around us. And maybe instead of that, let's just sit there and enjoy the moment and realize that we're seeing something that's just awesome. And they deserve to relish in their own awesomeness as well. So anyways, got to take a quick pause for the cause. We'll be back on the other side continuing to talk some NFL football. And I believe we'll have Shane on the other side. So keep it close. It is Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. Over the years, we've witnessed numerous genres colliding with rock music to create unique tracks consisting of a hybrid of sounds, but none quite so impactful or unlikely as that of Aerosmith's collaboration with Run DMC for their seminal version of Walk This Way. Join me at focusonrock.com, where I look at that special moment in music history when rap and electric guitars entwined and cultural worlds collided.
Your music can take you anywhere you want to go. And Guitar Center is the best place to start the journey. Save up to 25% on over 200,000 guitars, amps, and accessories from major brands. Get an Epiphone Limited Edition Les Paul for just $399. An Ibanez Electric for $249. A Yamaha Dreadnought Acoustic Electric for $199. Or Daddario Strings, 3 packs for $10. Where will your new guitar take you? Guitarathon is going on now at Guitar Center.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. hanging out with Jeff Rich, as I always do, each and every week. You can involve 1-800-878-7529. Hit us up on Twitter at @ByJeffRich, at Dorf on Sports. Be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. We are now going to hook up with Shane Koenig, our football insider. Shane, good morning, brother. What's up?
Nothing much, guys. Good to talk to you.
You know, Jeff and I have been talking about a couple things, and I just want to get your spin on them real quickly. Number one, Tom Brady coming back, ready to whoop up on Jeff and his Cleveland Browns. Look, how big of a mission do you think he's going to be on, and how badly do you think he takes it out his first week back against the Cleveland Browns? And then after that, how do you feel about the celebrations in the end zone?
Well, the first part, I think that everybody seems to think that, you know, Tom Brady is going to come out guns blazing, literally and figuratively, to show it, show the NFL, you know, hey, I'm back and you can't do anything about it. I took my suspension. But I think also he's going to do what he's done his entire career. If the game plan is for him to throw 40 times, then he'll throw it 40 times. But if the game plan is to run it with LeGarrette Blount and to slow the game down and exploit what the defense can give him, he's going to do that too. So I think it's just going to be interesting. It's going to be Tom Brady as normal, but we've been seeing Garoppolo and Brissett and everybody else injured, and they're all coming back. So it's going to be, you know, I feel Jeff's pain. Not only is Tom Brady coming back, but Ninkovich is activated and Gronkowski is going to be ready. And Tom Brady's going to have Chris Hogan now, and he's going to have everybody healthy, and they're all going to be playing. So it's not just Tom Brady. It's an influx of affluence, if you will. They're all going to all be back at the same time against a team that hasn't had the best of luck this year or in the past. End zone celebrations, I don't know my opinion about that. I think that scoring a touchdown is a pretty special thing. I don't really have a problem with end zone celebrations. My big thing is if you're going to celebrate things, a touchdown should be one of them. A sack might be another one. But when we get first down celebrations and I made a tackle celebration and a pass celebrations, it's like enough. Like you're getting into, that's your job. Like you're a defensive back and you tap the ball away from a player. That's literally what you're supposed to do. You're celebrating your job. Like, hey, look what I did. I did what I was supposed to do. So I think that's where I draw the line. I think that, you know, touchdown celebrations, it's a wide receiver getting in the end zone is something special. Not everybody does it, even wide receivers in the same game. If they celebrated, hey, I caught it, I think I'd have a problem with that. But I think you celebrate the exceptional when you just go with the mundane, and I think that's where I draw the line.
Yeah, my problem was always when Greg Little played for the Browns and he'd make a 4-yard catch on 3rd and 3 and he would do, or 2nd and 3, and he would do the first down motion every time, and he insisted upon doing it, and then he acted like Usain Bolt with the point to the sky. And yeah, what I was telling Dorf in the previous segment was that I think that the celebration has to merit the moment, and you know, and I think that it has to be appropriate. And I used the Joey Bautista home run last year in game 5 of the division series in Toronto as one of those moments that the magnitude was, you know, absolutely deserve that type of celebration. Hey, let me get back onto the the actual game of football. Tom Brady 5-1 in his career against the Browns. You can't read too much into the Jacoby Brissett start where they lose 16-0 to Buffalo, but how do you look at Buffalo now as a team that was able to shut down a Bill Belichick game plan and, you know, score enough points that the game really wasn't even in question in the end? How close do they come to competing with the Pats in the AFC East?
I want to say that my initial response is I think that they can. I think that they will be the only team that does, because the AFC East is not looking too great right now with the Jets and, you know, Fitzpatrick's interception run here. And everybody's talking about switching to Geno Smith, and I don't think that's going to be the answer at all. And the Dolphins look like they're lost again under a new coach. Nothing has really changed there. But it's, you know, Rex Ryan against Bill Belichick is bluster versus substance, you know. Like, there's a lot of, hey, look at me, I'm going to get on this conference call and talk to Julian Edelman and see if he's going to play quarterback. And Bill Belichick's like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do my game plan. I'm going to do the same things I've been doing that have won us championships. And it's that consistency. It's almost like a tortoise versus a hare thing. I see Rex Ryan running out and being like, look at me. And then there's Bill Belichick just slowly but steady. And at the end of the race, he ends up winning it because of focusing on what he needs to focus on. So my initial response is I think that they will be competitive because they're the only choice in the AFC East that's going to be competitive, but I don't think that they're really going to put up much of a fight.
What a lousy division when you really think about it, man. I'm not trying to dog anyone, but in all honesty, man, as great as the Patriots are, how much of it is just to the fact that their division has never put up a fight against them, and they honestly have like 8 guaranteed, 10 guaranteed wins a year because of it.
Well, and I think the interesting thing is that for, you know, being here in Denver and talking about Mark Sanchez and how he got brought in, the conversation was, well, he's taken two teams to the AFC championship and they beat the Patriots. And so to say, like, the Patriots are a really good team, but in the AFC East, if a team had something even of halfway substance, like that Jets defense was really good and they built around that, they were competitive. It's just that no one has built anything that's been competitive on a consistent basis against the Patriots. They're on a consistent level. The Dolphins haven't been relevant. The Bills haven't been relevant. And the Jets were relevant for a couple years with Sanchez, and they grew that window closed on that defense, and they haven't gotten back to that point yet. So, yeah, I mean, it's been – I think that the Patriots are like the NBA Eastern Conference. You know, they get to the NBA Finals, and they're healthier because they haven't gotten beaten up by everybody in their division and in their league.
That's a good point.
That's Shane Koenig, joining us from MileHighBroncos.com. And let's keep it in Denver. The Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan making his first start in Denver, his first career start in Denver this year. Is this the Broncos' biggest challenge for their defense to date, given what the 3-1 Falcons have done so far?
Well, that is, let me just say this. We all know that is the number one offense in all of the National Football League so far, anyways. Go ahead, Shane.
I think that it is their biggest test. I think that from, you know, you don't have any players coming out and being like, this is the biggest test. But the people that are covering this team and are there day in, day out at practice, they're talking about how this is a big game, and they don't get that idea from nobody. You know what I mean? Like, they may not be seeing it on camera, but people that are around the game get the feeling that, especially Chris Harris, Aqib Talib, Bradley Roby, that defensive backfield, T.J. Ward, those guys are ready to go. They're ready to show that even with Julio Jones and now, you know, Mohamed Sanu added to the mix, they have more options, more their running backs are finally healthy. This defense is ready to show that this conversation that people are having nationwide about, wow, look at this Minnesota Vikings defense. The conversation here is, who are you looking at? We won a Super Bowl based on our defense. Not a whole lot has changed. We're still a really good defense, top five. This is their chance on a bigger stage to show that 300 yards or 200 yards by a receiver and 500 yards by or 300, whatever he had, Julio Jones had, that was against a terrible defense, and we're going to shut them down and do our best to shut them down.
Hey, speaking of that, to me, Gary Kubiak is one of the better coaches in all of the NFL. Obviously, he's been doing it with Trevor Pack.
I think I lost you guys. I can't get you.
Okay, you know, we were talking about Trevor Siemian and his relationship with Kubiak, but I think that we got to throw it to a break right now. More of Shane Koenig on the other side. This is Dorfod Sports. Actually, let's keep it right here. You know, I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and I look at them as a team like a 4-0 Wake Forest team that I'm not going to believe in them. At what point in the season do we believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are that benchmark in the NFC, or is it going to take them getting to the playoffs and being successful there?
I think that the team that was built with without Carson Wentz was a good team, but that defense couldn't stay on, had to be on the field constantly. Now that they're more balanced and now that they have a quarterback that has the ball control and is able to slow it down, I think they're the real deal. I think Carson Wentz being this good was huge, but I don't think he had to be this good for them to be good. I think they're like the Denver Broncos. I mean, they're not as good on defense, but I think they're like the Denver Broncos. You know, they have a quarterback that they know they're not going to have to.
Shane, hold that thought. We'll get right back to it on the other side. He's Shane Koenig, Jeff Rich, Dorfman, it's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
With colder weather approaching, people are looking for ways to stop every draft they can in their homes. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about one you may have never thought about right after this.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bind tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Even if your attic is well insulated, the folding stairs that provide access can be a major source of heat loss. They often are poorly sealed and provide only a thin piece of plywood to keep the heated air from escaping. Begin by checking to see if the attic stairs close tightly, then apply self-adhesive foam weather stripping around the perimeter where the plywood door meets the frame. For extra protection, build an air trap above the stairs using rigid styrofoam insulating board. Tape together a frame around the four sides tall enough to accommodate the folded stairs and then hinge a door on one side using the same tape. The whole unit is sealed around the perimeter of the entryway with more tape, creating an insulated air trap between itself and the attic stair. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
How fast are Allegra gel caps? It's raking the leaves and loving it fast. How strong are Allegra gel caps?
I'm running with my favorite workout partner, Strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gel caps give you noticeable relief of your toughest allergy symptoms. It starts working in just 1 hour, 2 times faster than Claritin's first dose, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's saying yes to pick up football with the guys strong.
Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster, nothing's stronger. Among OTC oral antihistamines. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Sports Byline's library of more than 12,000 interviews is a treasure. I'm Ron Barr, and we want your help in protecting, sharing, and continuing to build this sports interview treasure. We've launched a GoFundMe campaign, so please go to sportsbyline.com/funding and donate so you can be a part of preserving and continuing to build this unique collection of sports interviews. In appreciation for your donation, support, and telling others, we're going to provide everyone who donates with a link to a special commemorative collection of the Sports Byline Interview Library. This commemorative collection will change every month, and you'll have access to it with your supporting donation of any amount. So go to sportsbyline.com/funding and also tell your friends. You'll be helping preserve, grow, and digitize the Sports Byline Interview Library so that today's sports fans and those in the future will forever be able to enjoy this treasure. Thank you for your help and support.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. This is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. We're hooking up and we're talking to Shane Koenig about NFL football. And Jeff, Shane, let me ask you this. Okay, we've talked a little bit about the Broncos and the success that they've had, and Trevor Siemian comes in, doesn't miss a beat from them from last year, and things seem to be just the way they were. Just they're good. They're a very good football team on both sides of the field. Are you thinking it's the system and Gary Kubiak, or are you thinking it's a combination of Gary Kubiak, the system, and the skill set of all these quarterbacks that have just seemed to be able to come in and fill in the pieces of the puzzle when somebody gets taken out?
I think that the – I don't want to say the system. I think Gary Kubiak understands, as a former backup quarterback, and what is involved in quarterback play in today's NFL, what needs to be done. And especially last year, they showed what the bare minimum needed to be done when you have such a strong defense. They're looking at this, and John Elway as well, looking at the Broncos as a team, and they're saying it's great to have a great quarterback, but those are hard to come by. So they built around a defense, and they knew their strengths, and they played to those. Even when Peyton Manning was struggling, they stayed with him. When he was injured, they went to Osweiler. They went back to Peyton Manning. And this year, their quarterback play is better, whether that's Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch. It's better than it was last year. And Trevor Siemian is a very smart person. Obviously, got his degree from Northwestern. He understands this offense. He knows his role, where he fits within that team. And people forget, like, he won with Matt Schaub in Houston with the same defensive coordinator he has now, and with good defensive players as well. So I would say it is the system. I think it's Gary Kubiak understanding the full team and how to build with the right general manager, how to build a team so that they can be consistent, hold on to the ball, play good defense, control the ball, and win.
You know, staying in the AFC West, you know, there's going to be a shootout in Oakland. I think that we expect a lot of points to be scored, but should the Oakland Raiders be able to defeat the Chargers and move to 4-1, how seriously do we take this Raiders football team?
I think that they are a young team that is moving along with the right general manager and finally an owner that doesn't get involved in personnel decisions. And it's been a 3 or 4 year process. I think that their quarterback is, that Carr is developing probably even a little bit faster than most people expected. But I don't know if their defense is ready, even with the picking up of a Sean Smith and some other defensive veterans. I don't know if their defense is ready to take them to the next step and winning in a playoff game or getting into the playoffs.
Well, since we're kind of going on this theme of maybe up-and-coming teams, at least with the Raiders that you just brought up, how do you feel about the Rams and what they've been able to do since their first week terrible loss? They've obviously won 3 straight. They beat the Cardinals in Arizona. How do you feel about the Cowboys and what they've been able to accomplish with Dak at quarterback? Seems like he's figured out the NFL game pretty quickly, but again, we'll see as a little bit more tape is out on him how he responds to what people start throwing at him. But the Rams, the Cowboys, how do you feel about teams like them that seem to be on the rise to a certain degree?
I think that the Rams are I think they're an awesome defensive team, very good defensive team, especially on their front seven. And they finally started doing that after the first game. They looked awful, and now they're starting to find their true identity. But the Rams are, we talked about in the last segment, you know, the Patriots and how bad the AFC East is. The Rams are going to be a product of whether or not the Cardinals and the Seahawks figure it out. The Niners aren't good. They don't have an even average quarterback available to them. I don't know if Kaepernick is even going to be available to them or if they're even going to try that out. But if the Cardinals figure it out like they did with Drew Stanton at quarterback and running the ball and ball control and playing with Chandler Jones getting after the quarterback, then the Rams are not going to make the playoffs and they're going to finish the usual, like we talk about, Jeff Fisher, 7-9, 8-8. And Seahawks have obviously figured it out as well, and they're starting to come around. If the both of those teams start to figure it out, then the Rams are pretenders. Case Keenum is not the answer. We talk about teams not focusing on the quarterback, but you have to have someone capable of leading a team and not turning the ball over, and I don't think Case Keenum is that person. I think on the other side, the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, you only have to look to yesterday's college game to understand Dak Prescott. Mississippi State got smoked by Auburn, and their head coach at Auburn was on the hot seat because they're just not playing very well. And Dan Mullins knows what a true leader is. He was the offensive coordinator when they had Tim Tebow, and he loves Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott, obviously, there are other people that graduated and left that team, but that was a Dak Prescott-led team, and now they're not even in contention in the SEC, and they were in contention last year and playing very well. So I think Dak Prescott was really underrated on a lot of boards, and I think he, like you said, has figured it out, but I think he's a true leader. But their defense has always been suspect. They get DeMarcus Lawrence back, so I think that's what's going to lead them. I don't think their offense is what's going to take them as far as they're going to go. And I think that the Eagles' defense and the Eagles' offense and the Redskins' defense, and if they can get a little more consistent on offense, will keep them at the level that we expect them to be at, very similar to the Rams.
Shane, you bring up Mississippi State, and they lost their opener to South Alabama team that's scheduled to go into Death Valley on November 19th. There's been a lot of pressure to buy out of that game, in turn with Florida buying out of their home contest that same day with Presbyterian, so that you could play this important SEC East contest. Does South Alabama and Presbyterian catch the hypothetical shaft here because of the pressure to get that SEC contest played?
I think that all of those teams that you're talking about that you see on everybody's schedule that are going to travel to other places that are completely – well, I mean, maybe South Alabama's not overmatched because they do have a big win. But if they're usually overmatched when you see them on a schedule, they're doing that for, a little more recognition – for their school, and they're doing it for the payday. I mean, let's be honest, they make $1 million to travel, and they're going to take that. If they're going to make the payday and they don't have to play, I don't know if that's necessarily a loss for the school. But if they're going to, maybe they should have ESPN, I'm joking about this, but ESPN the Ocho cover a South Alabama Presbyterian game, and they both get payouts, and then they both can play each other, and then, LSU and Florida can play, and it'll be a fun little weekend that everybody can talk about.
That's an interesting twist to it, because I never heard that thrown at it. But hey, I want to get back into the NFL, and there's three teams that I kind of want to get your take on. Two of them are they're all struggling, let's be honest, but maybe all for different reasons, to be honest with you. Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Panthers. Obviously, we know there's no Cam Newton going today. But on the other hand, Jameis has just been abysmal. I would have thought that this would have been a year for him to kind of improve and get better. But that is yet to kind of be the case. So I'm kind of scratching my head about the way that he's performing on the field, the way that Cam's performing on the field. And then the other guy that I'm really struggling with is Andrew Luck. All three of these teams are 1-3, and all three of these teams, or at least two of these three teams, I think we would have thought would have been playoff teams, and maybe even all three of them. So what's going wrong for the Colts, the Tampa Bay Bucks, and the Carolina Panthers?
I think I'll start in that order. So for me, the Colts are realizing that their old way of doing things, where they get minimal talent except at quarterback and maybe one or two wide receivers, and really focus on the skill positions, because Peyton Manning was so dynamic and so good at getting rid of the ball and getting it in the right spot and the receivers doing their job. You can't do that, even though Andrew Luck is good and Andrew Luck is smart and he's a good athlete. Until this year, they didn't focus anything on their lines. That's the way they always did it. They didn't focus on defensive line other than, Freeney and Mathis were their answer for the longest time. But they didn't have any dominant offensive line. They always struggled to have a running game. When they finally did have a running game, they won a Super Bowl. but they don't focus on that. And Ryan Grigson came out and said it's going to be difficult to shore up our defense because we paid Andrew Luck. But what were you doing when he was on a rookie contract? Like, that's what the Broncos are doing, and that's what has made them so successful, is they took the money that they knew they were going to get rid of and off their cap when Peyton Manning walked away, and they re-signed players that they know they're going to have, and now they have two guys on rookie contracts. Same thing with the Seahawks. The Seahawks did the same thing before Russell Wilson hit his. So I think that the Colts is a lack of talent that was made up for by Peyton Manning and cannot be made up for by Andrew Luck, because showing Peyton Manning's dynamic. I think that the Bucs made a terrible mistake in letting go of Lovie Smith, because now you're focused on one side of the ball, and Dirk Cutter doesn't have an answer for the defense, where Lovie Smith did, and he didn't necessarily focus on the offense, and now they got rid of him, and now their offense isn't good. It's not thriving, and their defense is awful as well, and they don't have an answer for it. And I think that there's also a lack of talent there. They don't have depth. They don't have a strong offensive line. Their running back is injured, so that's always another part of it too. And now their set backup running back is injured too. I agree with you about Jameis Winston. He is supposed to be my starting quarterback in fantasy, and he has struggled. I think Vincent Jackson's getting old, so we'll see how they handle it. I don't think Dirk Cutter is the answer in Tampa Bay, and I think they'll learn that in 3 or 4 years. And then the last one, who was the last team that we were talking about?
Panthers.
The Panthers. I don't know the answer to that. It seems we watched the game. It seems like their defense, they're talking about their front seven. Their front seven just isn't getting there. And their defensive backfield, which, you know, we talked about, or they talked about with Josh Norman and letting him go and not wanting to pay for that. And they were going to center on the front seven. That front seven hasn't been what they want it to be. And therefore, their defensive backfield is just getting shredded. I think that a lot of people have figured out Cam Newton. After the first game with the Broncos, delayed blitzes, you know, sending somebody and making Cam commit to a side and then bringing a secondary rush behind it so that once he starts moving, you pin him the other way and you can pressure him that way, has been a huge challenge for him to overcome. And I think that their offense is going to have to change. They can't keep letting Cam Newton take shots and have him survive and still be a winning team.
We talk about all these top quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill and the Miami Dolphins. It just doesn't seem like it works down there on the whole. Is there any legs to the rumor that I've been hearing about Cutler being traded to be reacquainted with Adam Gase down there in Miami?
I was talking, there's a guy that I talked to about the Miami Dolphins. He's a huge Dolphins fan, and I asked him that. I was like, so let me, because he talks about Tannehill, and this is ever since Marino has left, this has been my struggle. We don't have a quarterback, and, you know, it's almost like the curse of Drew Brees. You had a chance to get Drew Brees, and you went with Dante Culpepper, and it's been downhill ever since Marino left, too. And I said, well, what about Adam Gase? The best years of Jay Cutler were with Adam Gase, and now he is in Miami. Would you take Ryan Tannehill or Jay Cutler? And he cursed up a storm, and he can't stand Jay Cutler. But Jay Cutler played better in Adam Gase's system than Ryan Tannehill does. So it would be interesting, because you talk about Ndamukong Suh calling out the defense and saying, you guys don't get paid as much, and asking about heart and motivation. And then you put Jay Cutler in that formula, that might be a disaster.
That's a pretty good way to go out, Shane. Excellent call on that. I don't think you want Jay Cutler in there as a guy that's going to be standing up to take shots and be the tough guy. So totally agree with you. Hey, Shane, really appreciate you taking time out. We'll catch up with you next week, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Shane Koenig, our football insider, joining us. And that was awesome stuff, actually. Jay Cutler, come on now. Give me a break. Anyways, we got to take a quick pause for the cause. One final segment. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, Storf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400.
Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment of this hour here on Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Got to thank Shane Koenig for joining us and doing the job that he always does for us, breaking down NFL football. Jeff, as we always know, this is parting shot time. You're up, brother.
Well, you're the Cleveland. It's Cleveland versus Boston on Sunday, and that's one game very meaningful, one game not so much. I think that it goes football to the New England area, and the Indians move on to the ALCS, where they'll probably face John Poulter's Toronto Blue Jays.
Pretty cool, man. That'll be fun watching you two guys duke that whole thing out, if that is the case, and looking that way, at least right now. My parting shot is Green Bay Packers, baby, you're back. Took that bye week. People are healthy. Let's get back to doing what we are supposed to be doing. And let's go out there and win, and let's dominate, and let's become the kings of the NFC North once again and take down the Minnesota Vikings. But anyways, for Jeff, for Scott, for Shane, for Seth, for John, I'm the Dorf Man saying peace. We'll talk to you next week on Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline, USFA Radio Network.
What?
This, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our show.
May we do it again sometime?
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Dorf on Sports with Andy Dorf. Till next time.